Thank you, Steve, for that very good job of reading the scriptures for us there from Acts chapter 10. Thank you, David, for leading us in song as we raised our voices up in praise to our Almighty God. And thank you, Mike, for your very good prayer a few moments ago. And thank each and every one of you again for your presence here this evening. Once more, I'd like to encourage everyone to take out your Bibles and prepare to follow along with our lesson tonight titled, Five Keys to Having a Successful Gospel Meeting. With our gospel meeting quickly approaching, I thought it would be fitting for us to take some time to discuss some things that will be key in order for our meeting to be a success. And as we have been announcing for the past few weeks, Lord willing, next Sunday, June 12th, our gospel meeting will begin. And I venture to say that there is no doubt in my mind that each and every one of you here this evening desires for our upcoming meeting to be a success. I venture to say that we all desire for our gospel meeting to be a successful gospel meeting. And with that thought in mind, I want to spend just a few moments this afternoon by discussing five keys to having a successful gospel meeting. And the first key that I suggest to us this evening in order to have a successful gospel meeting is a proper attitude. You see, there are many people today who believe that gospel meetings are just a waste of time. There are many people today who feel like that gospel meetings are of no benefit whatsoever for those of the community or even those of the local congregation. But I'm here to tell you that there is much good that could come from a gospel meeting. So, I ask tonight, what is your attitude regarding our gospel meeting? What's your attitude regarding our gospel meeting? Are you looking forward to it? Do you think it's a waste of time? What's your attitude toward it? You see, it's important that we have a proper attitude regarding our gospel meeting. And members must not begin a gospel meeting with the attitude that, oh, it's just a waste of time. Because if we begin a gospel meeting with an improper attitude, our gospel meeting, more than likely, is not going to be a success, is it? And if we have that defeated mentality about gospel meetings being a waste of time, or that mentality like, oh, you're telling me that now I've got to go to service every day next week? I really don't want to do that. If we have that mentality, our gospel meeting's not going to be a success, is it? And it's important that we recognize the need to have a proper attitude toward our upcoming gospel meeting. When I think about a proper attitude regarding serving the Lord, I can't help but to think about what the psalmist instructed there in Psalm 100 and in verse 2. And there the psalmist instructs for us to serve the Lord with gladness. You see, we need to begin this gospel meeting with the attitude that we are happy to be able to come together to hear God's word proclaimed, to sing song of praise unto Him, to go to Him in prayer, to encourage one another each and every day of the week, next week, Lord willing, during our gospel meeting. We should be glad for that opportunity. We should have the mentality of David, as we learn about there in Psalm 122 and in verse 1. And do you remember what David said there? David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. May that be the attitude of each and every one of us. Not just during our upcoming gospel meeting, but each and every week. May we always look forward to the opportunity of being able to come into the Lord's house to worship and to serve Him. And may we always remember that no matter what, our efforts in providing this gospel meeting is not going to be in vain. You see, some think, oh, a gospel meeting is only successful if we have multiple conversions. But there's more to a successful gospel meeting than multiple conversions. You see, if the truth is presented, if that seed is planted, if the brethren here are encouraged and edified, all those things lead to a successful gospel meeting. And we need to be mindful of the fact that by us having this upcoming gospel meeting, that our efforts are not going to be in vain. When I think about that, I cannot help but to think about the Apostle Paul's words to those saints in Corinth found recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And there the Apostle writes, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable." Now watch this. "Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Hold on to those inspired words, brethren, and always remember that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And may we enter into this upcoming gospel meeting with a proper attitude. But another key that I suggest to us this afternoon in regard to having a successful gospel meeting is diligent preparation. You see, much hard work has to be put into having a successful gospel meeting. There are invitations that have to be printed and passed out. There are flyers that need to be printed and passed out and mailed out and posted. There is the building that we have here that needs to be cleaned as to be presentable when those whom we have invited come here. There's a lot of work that goes into having a successful gospel meeting. And we need to be mindful of the work that goes into having a gospel meeting. And we all need to be doing our part and supplying to the work that goes into the gospel meeting. One of the things that we all can do is we all can invite others to come to our gospel meeting to learn more about Jesus. That's something that each and every one of us can do. You see, we sometimes sing the hymn that there is a work in the kingdom that we all can do. There's work that each and every one of us can do. There's something that each and every one of us can supply to the work. And one of those things that we all can do is we all can invite others to come to our meeting. We have presented invitation cards to be mailed out. Half our stack is gone, but we still have half that stack left. I encourage you, if you haven't took any of those postcards, invitation cards, for you to grab some of those and for you to take those, get those passed out during this week. Get them passed out. Invite others. Invite your friends, your family members that are not obedient to the Lord. Your co-workers, your neighbors. Invite them to come to our upcoming gospel meeting. And may you always be mindful of the fact that a simple invitation can have a big impact on someone's spiritual state. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that just a simple invite may change a person's life forever? It may be that which leads one to become obedient to the Lord and to receive salvation for their soul. That's life-changing. There's nothing more life-changing than that. And that can simply be accomplished by a simple invite. And I want us to be mindful of the fact that we see throughout the scriptures with the simple invite to come and see, and about how that impacted the lives of those who were invited. I want to give us an example of this found here in John chapter 1. We learn here in John chapter 1 about Andrew going and finding his brother Simon Peter and bringing him to Christ. And we also see here in John chapter 1 about Philip, who went and found Nathanael. And I want us to take a moment to read the text here in John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 43. There it is recorded. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now watch verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now watch what Philip said to that response. He said to him, "Come and see." To be simply put, Philip invited Nathanael to come and see for himself. And guess what? We go on to see there in verse number 47 that Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." Verse 48, Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Simply put, Nathanael, his first thought was, there can't be nothing good come out of Nazareth. I don't want to waste my time and go and see. But he went, and what did he find? Jesus, the Son of God. And the same can be with a simple invitation. You may be inviting someone whom at first you may think, they don't care. They have no interest in that whatsoever. And when they get the invite, they may originally think, I'm not going to waste my time. But then they may think on it. And then they may come and see for themselves. And they too may be able to be one who believes just as Nathanael believed. Another example that we have in regard to some who were invited is found there in John chapter 4. As good Bible students, we're all familiar with the context here in John chapter 4. We're familiar with Jesus meeting with a Samaritan woman. And we're familiar with the fact that the Samaritan woman, when she left her water pot, she went to the city and she said to the men, picking up there in verse number 29 of John 4, she said, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" she asked. Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Here Jesus is specifically telling us that the spiritual fields are ripe and ready for harvest. He's saying, just lift up your eyes and look. I want to echo that message to each and every one of you. I want you to be mindful of the fact that the spiritual fields are still this very day ready for harvest. We just need to lift up our eyes and look. But picking up in regard going back to that Samaritan woman, how she invited those men of the city to come and see. Picking up there, we go on to see that in verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him." Why? "Because of the word of the woman who testified." Remember that. Remember what that woman's invite was? Her invite was for them to come and see for themselves. And it was because of that we learn that they believed in him, that being Jesus Christ. And we go on to see in verse 40, so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Remember that. And understand the impact that can come from a simple invitation. And knowing that, may we be a people who do our part in inviting others to come to our upcoming gospel meeting. And may we likewise be a people who do our part in supplying our share to the much needed work in preparation for our upcoming gospel meeting. Again, as we mentioned earlier, there is work that we all can do. And we need to be looking for the work that we can do to be prepared for our upcoming gospel meeting, whether it be in inviting others, whether it be in cleaning and doing some housekeeping the next few days, whatever that may be. We need to be a people who are supplying our share and providing our part to the work in preparation for our upcoming gospel meeting. Being mindful of the words of Paul found there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. And there Paul said, "When every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Remember that. Be mindful of that. Let us all possess a mind to work. Let us be providing our part, knowing that when we do our part, that it will provide benefit for the local work here. But another thing that I suggest to us in regard to a key to having a successful gospel meeting is sound preaching. You see, in order for our upcoming gospel meeting to be successful, it must include sound preaching. Unfortunately, there are many gospel preachers today who seek to entertain or tickle ears rather than to preach in clarity the truth of God's word. And in order for our upcoming gospel meeting to be successful, the preaching of this upcoming gospel meeting must consist of only book, chapter, and verse Bible teaching. When I think about that, I'm mindful of the words of Peter found there in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11. And there Peter writes, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles," that is, as the utterances of God. To be simply put, what Peter can be saying there is speak as God's word speaks. And we need to be mindful of the fact that if for our gospel meeting to be successful, we have to have Bible preaching and teaching. I am confident, just as much as I'm sure each and every one of you are confident, that James Hahn will do just that. I've got confidence in that. I got confidence in the fact that James Hahn will speak where the Bible speaks. I got confidence that James will give us book, chapter, and verse Bible teaching. And by doing that, we will be on the path to having a successful gospel meeting. And it's important that sound preaching is preached during our upcoming gospel meeting, simply because of the fact that only the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Paul informs us of that there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. When he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? He says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, for the Jew first and also the Greek." You see, the gospel is the power of salvation to all who believe. Therefore, we need to be mindful of the fact that the Bible is God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The Bible, it is God's all-inspired word. And God's word is truth. Jesus himself confirmed that in John chapter 17, verse 17, when he prayed to God the Father for his disciples, and he asked him to sanctify them by his truth. And he says, your word is truth. And here's the thing, as Jesus informed there in John chapter 8 and verse 32, only the truth can set one free. That's why it's important that our upcoming gospel meeting consists of only book, chapter, and verse Bible teaching. Knowing, as James informed there in James chapter 1 and verse 28, that the implanted word is able to save souls. Knowing that, my beloved brethren, may we be inviting others to this gospel meeting so that they may hear the truth proclaimed, so that they too may hear that which has the power to save souls. But another key to having a successful gospel meeting is a proper motive. You see, in all that we do, we need to evaluate our motives. Unfortunately, there are some congregations today who only have gospel meetings because some have the mentality, well, we do that because that's what we've always done. They hang on tradition. Well, our tradition is to have two gospel meetings a year. We have one in the spring and we have one in the fall. And they only have gospel meetings because of tradition. And they say, well, we do it because that's what we've always done. Some have gospel meetings simply because they think, well, everybody else around us is having them, so we'll just have one too. And you know what the problem with that is? They're entering into those gospel meetings with the wrong motive. We need to enter into this gospel meeting having a proper motive. We need to understand that our goal is to please God and not men. Unfortunately, there are many today who do the things that they do not to please God, but more so to please men. Well, that's what we've always done. That's what so-and-so got started for us a few years ago, and we continue to do it. Everybody seems to like it. Well, we're not having this gospel meeting to please men. We're having this gospel meeting to please God. And we need to be mindful of the fact that our aim, our motive, should always be to please God and not men. When I think about that, I can't help but to recall the words of Paul found there in Galatians chapter 1. And there in Galatians chapter 1, I want you to notice the question Paul asked in verse 10. Paul asked, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men," now watch this, Paul says, "I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Think about that. Do you think Paul was a men pleaser? Shake your head like this. Because Paul was absolutely not a men pleaser. Paul's aim was not to please men, but rather Paul's aim was to please God. And he goes on to inform them of the fact that the gospel which he preached to them was not according to man, but rather that it was that from which he received through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, our sole purpose in having this gospel meeting is to bring glory to God. Our sole purpose is not to come here like a family reunion and to come back and to spend time with James Hahn. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is not to elevate the preacher. Our purpose is to bring glory to God. And we need to be mindful of the fact that in all that we do, we need to do all to the glory of God, as we learn there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31. Remember that, brother. And may we enter into this upcoming gospel meeting with the proper motive. But one more key that I suggest to us this evening in regard to having a successful gospel meeting is there must be an active participation on the part of every member. Brethren, if we want this upcoming gospel meeting to be successful, there must be an active participation upon each and every member of this local church. And every member needs to be mindful of the need to attend every service of this upcoming gospel meeting. You see, we all, as members of this local church, have a responsibility to one another. We have a responsibility to one another to fulfill the task of considering one another in order to stir up love and good works. Are you aware of your responsibility to fulfill your task in considering one another in order to stir up love and good works? Are you? You see, we learn about that there in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 24. And we go on to see the words found recorded in verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. I want you to think about that for a moment. How are we going to be able to execute the instruction given for us in verse number 24 if we fail to come together and assemble with one another? How are we going to execute that instruction? We're not going to be very successful at doing that, are we? You see, we need to be here with one another in order to stir up one another for love and good works. And we need to recognize the need to plan to attend every service of this upcoming gospel meeting. Now, I know that there are some in which work schedules are going to get in the way, and it's not going to allow that. I recognize that there are going to be some who may encounter a health affliction during that week, and due to health, that's going to keep you away. We understand that. But here's the thing. If at all is possible for you to be here, you need to be here, brethren. You need to be here and to support our gospel meeting. You see, we need every member at every service. Remember that. That includes you. That includes me. We need every member at every service. And we need to be mindful of the need to be making plans to be present during our upcoming gospel meeting. But another thing that we need to be doing in regard to our participation on the part of each and every member is every member here needs to be given to hospitality during our upcoming gospel meeting. The Lord willing, next week there will be many visitors coming in and out throughout the week. We may have people from the community coming out who may have never stepped foot into the Lord's church before. And we need to be a people who are given to hospitality to all who come during our upcoming gospel meeting. You see, it has been said that first impressions mean a lot. And what's going to be one of the first things that someone who's coming in off the street's going to notice about us? What are they going to notice? They're going to notice whether or not we're a friendly, welcoming group. That's what they're going to notice. How many times have you went into to visit a congregation and not a soul spoke to you? How many times have you went in to visit with a congregation and you sit down and nobody comes up and introduces themselves to you? How many times have you stood around after services is over at a congregation and nobody comes up to talk to you? How many times has that happened? I venture to say that there's been a time or two in which that has happened, hasn't there? And I'm here to tell you that that should not be. And God forbid that that is the way that it is ever here at Belleville. May it never be that way, brethren. May we always be a people who are given to hospitality. May we be a people who possess a love for strangers. May we be a people who encourage all who enter into those doors, whether they be members of this local congregation or whether they be members or visitors. May we always be a people who are given to hospitality. And may we all recognize the need to be active in our participation during our upcoming gospel meeting. For by doing so, brethren, we will be on our way to having a successful gospel meeting. So now I ask the question, can the members of this congregation count on you to be present at each service during our upcoming gospel meeting? Can they? Only you can answer that question. But as for me and my house, you can count on us to be present during each and every service, the Lord willing, during our upcoming gospel meeting. And I hope that the same can be said of you. Brethren, these are just five keys to having a successful gospel meeting. And if we put these keys into motion, our upcoming gospel meeting will be a success. Therefore, may we all look forward to our upcoming time together, the Lord willing, next week. And let's all have a successful gospel meeting. Maybe there's one here this evening who has not yet submitted themselves to the will of the Lord. We don't want you to wait until next week during our gospel meeting to do that. We urge you to submit in obedience to the Lord and His will this very hour. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this afternoon for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this evening who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song David selected for us.